teach people the skills that they might not get in a college classroom setting.
Right.
So we send people into the quote unquote real world after they graduate with skills in things like marketing development or throwing events and things like that.
That's a wonderful opportunity to actually get your hands dirty to do some of this stuff, because a lot of adults haven't even tried to do this yet. So
yeah, is there a?
I'm not that you're not an adult. Sorry, that sounded weird.
That's okay.
You're not old like us, so yeah.
Is there a theater program or acting major of any kind at Millikan that's separate from Pipe Dreams?
Yeah, so Millikan has a few different theater majors. So we have our design and production. We have the BA in theater, which is kind of just all branches of theater combined into one. We have an acting program, a musical theater program, and an arts administration program that used to be theater administration, and now it's more broad arts. And so we work with Millikan's School of Theater and Dance under their student-run venture, like little branch. So we're connected to the school, but also kind of its own separate thing. Like, we don't work with their casting in the same sessions. Usually they will cast first, and then we pull from people who were not cast in the Millikan productions. And then students in the programs, such as like design and production, can come to us if they have some free time to apply for our positions, just to get some extra opportunities in there when they have a little bit of downtime between projects.
So if you're not majoring in theater, but you're interested in theater, you could still get involved.
Oh, absolutely. Right. We are really excited about how we've been branching out the last couple of years, specifically to the rest of the school. We have one of our biggest class sizes ever currently, and it is a huge melting pot of all different majors, all different years of people of different backgrounds. So a lot of business majors do come to us because they need to take a student-run venture to graduate. Mm-hmm. And this Pipe Dreams gives them a little bit of opportunity to learn about other things outside of not necessarily like running a business, but also running like an arts company. So
what about you? Are you a theater major yourself?
Yeah, so I'm in the BA program. I'm a senior, and then I also am a part of the English program as well.
Great. So how many, like, just in terms of the actual Millikan drama program, how many shows are put on every year?
Millikan's main stage, I believe they usually do 6 or 7. That includes dance concerts as well as plays and musicals. And then Pipe Dreams usually aims to do 3 to 4. Obviously, coronavirus has changed those formats a little bit, but that's the usual scope of things. So students who want to audition for shows or work on shows usually have about 10-ish options to work on throughout the year.
And does Pipe Dreams only do shows during the school year, or do you do things during the summer as well?
Right now we're only doing things for the school year. We have talked about possibly branching out into summer programs specifically with our education department, but we haven't necessarily finessed that yet because most students don't live in the Decatur area during the summer months.
Right.
And so you have access to the facilities, like do you use the Millikan main stage for your productions?
We do not use the main stage for our productions because we have our own black box space that is about a block and a half away from campus. So we do all our productions in that space. We have, obviously, for coronavirus, we did a Zoom production, so that was a little different. But usually we just use our black box, and then Millikan main stage occasionally uses our black box space when we're not using it. They did a production of the play The Wolves, I believe 2 years ago now, and they used our space for that. So we really like to share what we can.
How did a group like Pipe Dreams come up with your own space? What's the history with that?
So the space actually used to be a coffee shop way back in the day. And when Pipe Dreams became a thing, they realized, well, we kind of need a space to put theater on because it's not really easy to put full plays on in classrooms and things like that. So I'm not 100% whether it was in the first year or not, but they acquired the space pretty early on in Pipe Dreams history. And then we've been working to renovate it even now today. We put a sprung floor in just a few years ago, so that was a huge upgrade. And we just this year have upgraded a lot of our lights and things like that. So this space is very fun because it used to be a coffee shop, was not supposed to be a theater. So we are still building it up to make it our perfect little home that we house all of our stuff in. So
right. Well, we're
congratulations.
That's amazing. In fact, I want to talk to you about your flooring and stuff because the Station Theater is putting in a new floor. So I'll talk to you offline about that. Because and we know about trying to use a space that wasn't intended for theater, because yeah. the Station Theater in Urbana, I'm on the board and we've both been very active in it, and it was like a depot, a train depot originally.
Oh, cool.
So how many people does it seat usually?
It seats 90.
Okay, great. That's okay. That's big for a coffee shop.
Right.
So turning our attention to what's happening now, we're talking with Sophie Kibiger of Pipe Dream Studio about shows coming up from Pipe Dreams. The two that are happening now, the last 5 years and 6 years old, are these going to be live productions or Zoom-based sort of video productions?
So we're streaming through the platform ShowTix for You. We will be rehearsing in our space and then filming our productions and then putting those up to stream. A 6 years old comes up in March, and then April for last 5 years. So we will record those about 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time, so then we can edit together the clips and things like that to make sure it's as live of a feeling as it can be when you're sitting on your couch watching your TV.
Great. Now, it looks to me like I'm assuming that both of these shows were chosen because of their smallish sort of cast sizes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So we knew that we didn't want a bunch of people in our space. Our space, even though it seats 90, is not very big. And with social distancing guidelines and just wanting to keep everybody as safe as possible, we wanted to keep our cast size down. So we are, for the last 5 years, that's usually a cast of two, and we are technically triple casting it. So we'll have three different casts that will go up. And the nice thing about that was we can still only keep it to two cast members in the space at one time. Mm-hmm. And then 6 years old is a small cast of four. So that one we can keep easily socially distanced with masks during blocking. So that was a major factor in the decisions, because we had our original season, our musical was supposed to be Spring Awakening, which is a cast of minimum 15, and that just was not going to work.
Right. That's great that you were able to like change up on that. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that your callback list is posted publicly, which kind of like petrifies me as someone who's done some acting, both of us have. So we're like, oh no, the callback list. So is that how you usually contact people and let them know?
Yeah, we usually put out our callback list via email and on Facebook at the same time, so that our auditionees that get most of their information from us through our Facebook page can be notified immediately. We do have a lot of people where email isn't their preferred form of communication, so we like to make it accessible. And then also the community can know, like, oh, so-and-so's son or daughter got called back, or I know that person, and then they like to share it and congratulate people. So it in a funny way, kind of brings in a sense of community to our sure. page, and we love to do that.
Right, and you cast from students and from the community and from the outlying community. So at some point, if people from Champaign Urbana want to get involved, they can just watch your Facebook page and look for auditions and things like that. Or
yeah, we definitely really encourage people from the community or from other areas to come and audition. We love to see fresh faces. Obviously, we love people from the Millikan community too, but it is really awesome for us to get that outreach. COVID has made it a little difficult for us to get community engagement. So we're hoping as things start to get better in the next year that we can open up more to people who are from Champaign or Springfield or areas that are close enough to us that it would be worth driving down. We really encourage community members to stay on our page and get involved. And we have lots of other opportunities that aren't necessarily acting or singing or even doing design work. We do cabarets, fundraisers, and other events that the community can get involved in.
Well, with everything that you're doing and having your own space, I bet you do fundraisers and that they're very important. So and we'll be happy to promote those in the future. Just let us know. We want to support you as much as we can. Talking about the triple casting, how are you going to do three casts with your intention to stream? Are you just going to have three different versions of the show? Or
yeah, so what we can do, it's very interesting learning about all these new streaming rights agreements, because mm-hmm. as the artistic director, I'm learning about it as I'm going. And so what the plan is like on a Friday, we will release the video of cast A. And then on Saturday, or that will run for like 24 hours. And then Saturday at the same time, we'll release cast B, and then Sunday cast C. And so that people can watch all three if they buy three tickets. And they can flip and flop if they wanted to see Friday, but then Sunday. So that's the plan right now. It might change because we are supposed to run multiple weekends and we're still trying to figure out the ShowTix for You platform, but we're hoping it'll be like a every day is a new cast kind of situation.
Right. And the other question, can I ask this
question?
Yeah,
you can. Okay. I'm excited about the answer.
Okay. So as we're looking at the callback list, and we're somewhat familiar with the last 5 years because the Station Theater just did it somewhat recently. And we noticed that some people are called back for both the part of Jamie and Kathy. So are you not doing a traditional gender roles for this show?
Or at least for some casts of the show?
Right. So what the directing team and the creative team in general is looking at for that show is making a statement about different types of relationships, because in the rights contract for the last 5 years, you're probably familiar with this since your theater did it recently, but you're not allowed to change any pronouns or names. But that doesn't mean you can't cast someone who is male identifying in a female identifying role. You just have to call that actor she, her. So we're interested in kind of not necessarily bending the rules, but like changing the norm of like, this show is usually done in a straight cast with a male and a female. And what does it look like if Kathy is played by a male identifying actor or Jamie is played by a female identifying actor? So we don't know exactly how that will pan out because we're still in our callbacks, but you will see on hopefully Wednesday or Thursday when we release our cast list, what the plan is going to be for that. And we're very excited about the kind of statement we can make and how we can make our audience think differently about what relationships look like when you change the way a person behaves or appears.
I love that so much. I'm so glad that you're open to that and that you're stressing that. That's awesome.
I mean, the story is about love and heartbreak and evolution of relationships, and those are not unique to male female. And so I'm really excited about how that will work. And one of the things when the station did it, they also double cast it. And I saw it. Well, I fell in love with one cast that I saw multiple times, but seeing both casts was really interesting to me. And then I thought of how it might work with other pairings. And so, or mixing and matching. So I think that's, as a viewer, I'm excited. And I'm sure that the directing team and you are just not just excited, but also just really curious.
It's
play out.
It's been really great to work through this creative process of like leading up to the auditions of, okay, what if we do this? What is this going to look like? How do we do this without people not necessarily getting upset, but like getting confused? Because we want to make our shows as accessible for all different types of audiences of all different types of backgrounds. And I think that with this season specifically, Pipe Dreams always kind of likes to challenge the norm. That's kind of our thing, is to make people think and introduce them to new things they might not have thought about. So I think that with the last 5 years being cast the way that we're planning to cast it, as well as 6 years old being a play about gender issues, we can bring these topics to our community and present them in a way that they might not have ever thought about them before. And that's what's really important to us. So getting to that stage of, okay, how can we do this where it'll make somebody think differently about something has been really awesome.
That's one of the things theater is all about. Can you talk a little bit more? I'm not familiar with 6 years old. I was very, once we started reading more about it, I was very interested in about it. And can you explain, because it's cast by adults, correct? Even though, so is it a flashback type of thing, or are they, how does that work?
Well, it's not cast by adults. Adults is cast. the cast is comprised of adults.
Of adults playing children.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a play by Stephanie Silger, and she has this way of writing that is so interesting because it is written as the characters are children, but there's a specific note in the script that says, we don't want them to behave like children. Like, you shouldn't use a baby voice. You are an adult, but you are playing a child. And I think that the reason that I just written like that, based off other productions that I've looked into and doing my own research, is you can kind of explain the way that children, because children are not always prepared to explain their emotions or their feelings because they don't know how. And if you put an adult in that situation and you show other adults, this is what I'm saying that I feel in my adult body, but as a child, other adults can say, oh, maybe when my child talks like this or has these tantrums, this is what they mean, but they just don't know how to express it. Mm-hmm. So it brings in a whole other level of like emotional maturity and intelligence and how children feel the same things that adults do. They just don't know how to say it because mm-hmm. they're six, and it's a really big and scary world when you're six, and it's hard to tell your mom that you're feeling something, but you don't know what it is when your mom doesn't know either. So it's definitely going to be interesting to have adults playing children, but not necessarily playing children. So right. we're excited for people to see it because it's kind of hard to explain when you don't really know what it looks like yet because you haven't gotten in the space. But.
Right. Well, when we first saw the play and we saw the character list, we know a lot, both of our kids act, and we know a lot of children who are great performers. Mm-hmm. And my first thought was, ooh, we got some great ideas to audition for this. And then we read down to the bottom and saw adults being cast. And so it is a twist. And we've done a little research on the show, and we've seen some video clips of how it actually plays out, or at least in, mm-hmm. in some theaters' minds. And we get it, but I'm really going to be really interested in seeing it. So tell us again when these come out and how we can see them.
Yeah, so 6 years old will open on March 19th, and that runs through the 21st, and that will run again through ShowTix for you. We will be posting links and more information on tickets soon on our Facebook page, because we have to get the streaming rights still set up through that program. And then The Last 5 Years opens on April 16th, and we plan to run that through May 2nd, so that will run on the weekends.
Okay, and so it's going to be specific show times to watch it. You can't just watch at your leisure.
That's something we're still figuring out too. We believe how it says in the rights contract is that each show streams for 24 hours. So technically, even if it opens at 7, you can watch it at 9:30 or the next day on your lunch break. We're not sure if that opens like midnight that day to midnight the next day, or if it is like 7 to 7, but you will be able to watch it at any time once you get the ticket for the streaming link.
We will have all of the information, and we hope that you can get us the information.
Absolutely.
And we will post it in Pipe Dream Studios Facebook page. And do you have a website also?
Yes, we do. I can email you that. It's pdtheaterre.org.
Okay.
So I'll send you all that information and good stuff, because we are different names on different platforms because some names get taken, unfortunately.
Right, so. Right, exactly, yeah.
All right, well, Sophie, it's been great to talk to you, learn a little bit about Pipe Dreams and your upcoming productions of The Last 5 Years and 6 Years Old. Good luck with that, and please keep in touch with See You at the Show about subsequent productions, and pass this on to your successors, I guess, as you turn over the reins of the company next year. But good luck with these shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me, and thank you for supporting Pipe Dreams in our endeavors. I think you're doing.
And once we get closer to each of the productions, maybe we could have an actor and director come on and tell us how things are going.
Right.
Yeah, that would be awesome. We could definitely set that up.
Great.
And someday I'd love to see the space. Yeah, once things are safe and we can do stuff in person again.
Yeah,
we'll
come
absolutely.
Come out and watch something.
Because we have a pipe dream ourselves of having a See You at the Show studio someday.
So we'll see how it's
done.
Okay, nice talking to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, you guys.
There's a lot going on.
Right, which is great. And the pandemic's not going to keep us down. And people got vaccinated today and things like that. So
yeah.
My eldest got vaccinated.
Congratulations.
So, yeah.
And I got vaccinated today, or part one. So we're getting closer to making shows, seeing shows, and
being safe.
Yeah. And excitingly, Red Mask Players in Danville, who we talked to in the fall about Fahrenheit 451, is at it again. And we are joined today by Tim Kirby, who is director and vice president. He's director of You Are Perfect, vice president of Red Mask Players. Welcome to See You at the Show, Tim.
Hello.
So how long have you been affiliated with Red Mask?
10 years. 10 years.
And do you have a background in theater prior to that?
Only about 2 years prior to that. I started late in life.
Okay.
That's great. We love that.
Ditto. So how did you get started? What's your story?
My son was doing theater at Holy Cross Elementary School, and they had me come in to do sound for them because they didn't have a sound man. And I kind of came in the back door that way, and then saw an audition for Dracula and Rantoul, and have went nonstop ever since.
That's great.
Is that Holy Cross in Danville or in Champaign?
Oh, my middle child went to Holy Cross in Champaign. Yeah.
And my nieces, Kaylee and Noelle, were probably doing shows right about that time. So
awesome.
Small world.
Yeah.
And I also was kind of like got the theater bug from going to an audition with my son in 2011. So it's never too late. Okay. And here you are now directing it. Have you directed before?
I've directed once before. I directed last season, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Nice.
And that was also with Red Mask?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us about Red Mask. How many shows do you typically do in a non-COVID sort of era?
A season's typically three adult shows and two children's shows. We do a fall, a winter, and a spring show. And then the children's shows, we do one at the beginning of summer and one at the end of summer.
Okay.
Children's shows around.
And this is in Danville, and you have the Catherine Randolph Theater. Is that owned by Red Mask?
Yeah, it was a gift to us from Catherine Randolph. And then, so we've been there for, since, I can't remember the date, early 60s.
Nice.
Okay.
Stop my head.
And so the show that you currently are in the early stages of is You Are Perfect. I was not familiar with that, but few clicks and I'm really intrigued. What can you tell us about the show?
Yeah, it's a telling of the story of Susan Atkins, the Manson family member who died in prison for the Tate LaBianca murders. It's a unique telling. The whole thing is her and a social worker discussing her life and the crimes and done with flashbacks with her and Charlie Manson.
It's a cast of three. Is that cast size kind of reflective of the need to keep things distanced and to ease that process, or is that just fortunate?
It's a little that, and it's a little that we were looking for to keep our budget down during the COVID season. We were looking for public domain shows, and this one's not public domain, but we were able to work a really good royalty arrangement with the author. She wanted to get it produced in the Midwest. So we're going to be the Midwest premiere of it.
Oh, wow. I was wondering if anybody had done it. I'd never heard of it before. So that's great that you're going to premiere it.
So did you have contact directly with Cindy Marion in the process?
Yeah, regularly. I'm in contact with Cindy regularly. She may come out for the show if the COVID allows.
Oh, my gosh. Right. That's fantastic. Because we just watched a brief YouTube clip of her talking about the show.
Okay.
And she was talking about her inspiration for the show was watching a video interview with Susan and Diane Sawyer. And she said she was so moved by that she just felt that Susan's voice just needed to be heard.
Yeah, it's a great take on the character, on not really the character, the person.
Right.
Susan was, there's a lot of debate as to whether or not she actually murdered anybody. She admitted to it at the trial. But then she retracted that later.
Mm-hmm. So does the play get into that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the crux of the play.
Right.
Is whether or not she's going to testify.
And I think what You Are Perfect means, and unless there's some sort of a spoiler associated with it, is that like what Manson thought about Susan, or is that something else?
He said that to all the girls. That's kind of how he lured them in. You know, he would tell them they're perfect. They would talk about their faults and their flaws, and he'd tell them, no, you're perfect. He'd show them themselves in a mirror.
Wow. That's going to kind of taint that phrase when I use it in the future. Yeah. I will no longer describe your interview tactics as perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. So tell us about how this is going to be executed, performed, rehearsed, et cetera, with whatever COVID restrictions are in place there in Danville.
Well, during rehearsals, anytime a cast member's off stage, they'll be required to wear a mask. We're gonna do temperature checks every day when they come in. On stage, we're not gonna require masks, obviously. And then for the shows, for production, we're gonna follow all of the state guidelines. I think we're at 50% capacity right now at phase four. And we've blocked off seats, social distanced. Family groups no bigger than four. If you've got more than four in your group, you'll have to be spread out. Temperature checks on patrons when they enter the building. Every night after the show, the entire theater will be sanitized, all the seats, everything. There's hand sanitizer stations everywhere, and masks will be required.
What's your normal capacity when it's not COVID?
About 120, 125.
Right. So you can still have, you know, 50, 60 people. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, we're going to limit it to 50 is where right. we're at.
Okay.
And you said the audience is going to stay masked for the show?
The audience is supposed to stay masked for the show. The lights are out. I mean, you can't.
Right. As much as you can force it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I know that I feel better about that. I know that there were a couple of things that happened at the Fisher Theater in Danville that I didn't go to because it was just, the requirement was just stay masked on your way to your seat, and then you don't have to stay masked anymore. So right. I mean, I think, but we're also entering a different era. By the time your show goes up, there could be a different feeling. I got my first vaccination shot today. So I think that there may be a lot of more people who are more comfortable kind of venturing out and returning to normality and seeing shows.
And it's exciting to hear somebody actually doing something that's going to be in person. A lot of people are still streaming their shows, even though the actors are in person, they're not going to have a live audience. So right. when does your show go up?
We are March 26th through the 28th and April 9th to the 11th. We had to take a weekend off in the middle for Easter.
And are you going to do online ticketing or tickets at the door?
Yeah, we do online ticketing. You can get those at redmaskplayers.com. And there will be tickets available at the door too. But we prefer online ticketing so we don't have people
Staying
at the box office with the COVID.
Is this a show with an intermission or is this?
Yeah, okay. It's a 2 hour. There'll be a short 10-15 minute intermission.
Are his scenes flashbacks? Is that how that works?
Yeah, they're flashbacks. The majority of the show takes place in Susan's prison cell, but it's going to be surrounded by desert so that she can step out of the cell and do scenes with Charlie.
Okay. And the social worker, so that's, is that female role? Is that what you're casting for that role? So it's a
female role, yeah.
Two women and a man. And a man.
And you're doing auditions online or in person?
No, we're doing auditions in person. Okay. Last night and tonight.
Great.
Okay, great. And by the time we air those, we will have the cast list out. And so when do you hope to have this cast by? Is that
still the I hope to have it cast no later than tomorrow. I'd like to have a cast tonight, unless I need some callbacks.
Okay, well, that's exciting. We look forward to that and seeing if there are any familiar names to us. I know that there are people in Champaign that are desperate to have acting opportunities, and we've been trying to spread the word to people about that. Does Red Mask typically just draw from Danville, or would you say that you have a broad reach?
It's primarily Danville, but we've had a few shows where people from Champaign have come over.
Yeah, but and kind of the same. Do you ever get over to Champaign to see any community theater?
I go to shows from CUTC and the station. So I travel around.
That's great.
Good. That's good.
And so you used to be based in Champaign, probably, if you had a kid at Holy Cross. Is that?
No, my wife was based in, ex-wife was based in Champaign.
Okay.
I was based in Vermilion County.
Okay.
But great. I was there a lot for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you taking time out to talk to us. And I think we'd love to have you come back on when you get a little bit closer to production and you have a cast and you can give us an update about how things are coming along and we can continue to spread the word about great things happening at Red Mask.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for joining us and see you at the show.
All right. Thank you.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This has been the Weft Courier for Thursday. Join us for the Weft Courier every weekday for Democracy Now! At 4 p.m., followed by two additional programs of information and analysis. Up next, Surfability Freakout Radio.
The views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or WEFT Associates.
It was a grim day in history. The horror was unforgettable, but so was the courage. Coming up, one man remembers how a massacre changed so many lives.
Surfability freak out.
Oh my God, what happened?
Folks, you have no idea what's going on down here. You need to come down here and check this out.
Did you say that your songs are about liquor, women, drugs, and killing for the most part?
Yep.
Mana, 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, Yahoo, 11, 10, 9, sequence.
The following program contains six, coarse language
five,
and nudity.
Four,
viewer discretion is advised.
Two, one,
all residents are advised to remain in their homes, keeping their doors and windows securely fastened.